gentlemen who are well-known in his own areas is Reverend Carl Ewart, Salem, Connecticut. He's known in the New England states as the Salem Psychic. He completed his college education in the University of Connecticut and graduated with a Bachelor of Arts degree. He has developed the gifts of clairaudience, clairvoyance, and healing. He has been tested many times by scientists and doctors in various ways. He's the founder of the organization in Connecticut, Chesterfield, Connecticut, called the Gift of the Spirit Church. He is also a member of the American Spiritual Healers Association and the National Federation of Spiritual Healers of England. The Reverend Carl Ewart is well known in New England states for his many appearances on radio and TV. The networks there are quite delighted when he offers to serve for them. His lectures have been well received in most of numerous churches other than our own type, schools, universities, prisons, clubs, and organizations. They have all of these, and the people within, that have become very interested in the latent possibilities of man. I give you Reverend Carl Ewart.
Chairman, friends, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon to you. It is a pleasure indeed for me to be here to serve on this platform with these two wonderful people. I'm not here to plant thoughts of a great psychic or a great medium in anyone's mind. I would rather be known as a person that is planting seeds of spiritual truth in the minds of the people. I can only share with you what has happened to me and what has happened to many others around me since I have been in this work for the last 25 years. I can only plant the seed in your mind, and you are the one that can nurture it, cultivate it, and let it grow. But when we reach the first day of September, my thoughts naturally go to one thing, because all around us, we are being reminded that it is now back to school. And when I think of back to school, I think of back to basics. I feel sorry for the youngsters today going to school because there's so many things that they have to learn that is really not necessary. And yet, if we went back to basics, things would be a lot better for all of us when we finish this school. But when I talk about this, I'm also talking about religion, because if we went back to the basics of religion, in the very beginning, we would learn a lot of things, that have not been changed down through the ages. When we think of the doorway to the next world, let us remember one thing. It is only through the medium that we can pass through that doorway, not through the churches. Here is a Baptist talking to you, because I was brought up in the Baptist religion of the South. And where I came from, it was hellfire and brimstone that was crammed down our throats. But as a child, I heard voices, and I saw other people that others could not see. Needless to say, I lived with what was known to me at the time as a curse, because I did not understand psychic phenomena. I did not understand the apparitions as they were appearing to me. I had never heard of Joan of Arc. I had never heard of any of these other people that had had experiences such as this. And yet, at that time, as I read the Bible, I was able to understand many things in the Bible. And constantly, I am having people coming to me asking questions about psychic phenomena, about gifts of the Spirit. And yet these very people say they accept the Bible, but yet they do not accept psychic phenomena. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who accepts the Bible has to accept psychic phenomena. For the greatest teacher that has ever walked the earth plane was psychic. But yet, down through the ages, so many people did not understand it. But when we get right down to the basics of the teachings of the man Jesus, we can understand why he's taught on such a simple level. He did not teach in complicated ways. He taught very basic things, and he explained as he went along. And yet his teachings have been changed down through the ages. It is amazing when I find out there are so many people in the world that yet believe everything in the Bible, and they are surprised to find out that this book was only copyrighted in 1928. I don't have to tell you why anything has to be copyrighted. I feel that you should know that yourself. But let us face it, there's been many changes in that book. And over the years, after I came into the understanding of the gifts of the Spirit, I came into the understanding of the working of Spirit, I started asking those that were talking to me from the higher side of life. I said, I am not interested in where I'm going. I'm not interested in where I came from. I'm only interested in things pertaining to the Bible, because my mind at the moment is very, very confused. Because as my parents have taught me, and as I have heard what the clergy would say, and therefore I need a better understanding, because I am not getting that understanding here on the physical plane. And so I want to know more about the working of Spirit. Where are these voices? What is the meaning of this? And I have been told many, many times, over and over again, the answers that I was seeking. And therefore, I want to share these with anyone who is able and is willing to learn, willing to listen. Because, friends, we are coming into a new mental scientific age today. Our young people are not satisfied with the teachings of their parents, and they are not satisfied with the teachings of the churches. And so therefore, they are seeking, they are searching, they are trying to find their own paths, they are trying to find their own directions here, and yet they are all running helter-skelter, and they are not finding the truth. And when you go out in the world seeking and searching, trying to find the truth, if you will look far enough, you will find it. You will find it. And so anyone accepting the book called the Bible has to accept psychic phenomena. They have to accept the working of Spirit, because it is all there recorded in this book. It is unfortunate the theologians of the past could not see beyond the end of their nose, realizing that there were people such as the man Jesus that was gifted in such a way that they could cause the people on the spirit side of life to work with them, through them, and beside them. And this is why I am very proud to be part of the movement of spiritualism, the part of the movement that is going all over the world today. And there are many labels that's placed upon this. And how many of you people in the audience this afternoon, how many of you have ever wondered, as you drive through the villages, the towns, the cities, the hamlets, and you wonder why so many churches, why so many labels placed on the front of these buildings, and yet there's only one God? Stop and think of this. And yet, when we come right down to the basics, the teachings of the gifts of the Spirit, the teachings of the man Jesus who gave his life trying to prove and trying to bring the truth to the people. It was only after he had been dead that they realized this man was true. He was gifted. He was a servant of God. And many people right here that has lived and worked on these grounds have also given their life their time to bring the truth of the continuity of life to all mankind. And when you come and when you go for a reading, do not ever go there thinking that you're going to a message parlor. Don't think that you're going to a stock exchange or a matrimonial agency. Go there because it is those that have passed on to the higher side of life that is there able to help and guide you. We are not in communication with the dead, my friends. There is no such thing as the dead. It is the physical body that is cast aside. The higher self, the soul, the spirit, call it anything you wish, that is the part that lives on. Lives in another dimension, invisible to our physical eyes, but yet just as real as we are here this afternoon in this auditorium. And it is through the instrument, called the medium, called the psychic if you want, call it the oracle if you want. Down through the ages, these very gifted people have been labeled with many labels, some of them very negative, and I won't even mention them from this platform. I only want you to open your own minds and realize that there is another dimension beyond this. And this dimension is not off into the future, but it is here and now, this very moment. And 5 minutes after death, you will be just as much alive as you have ever been in this physical world. I don't care if you go to a church or you are an atheist, because we will all go to the same place. I am not telling you this because I believe it. I am telling you this because I know it for a fact. And I have talked to many priests and many ministers. And I had the privilege of a priest that comes to me from Manhattan in New York City. He came to me for a reading about 4 years ago. And during the course of the reading, he was told that he could not live in the physical body another year unless he went through an open-heart surgery. Well, the poor man thought that the message given to him was absolutely inaccurate, and yet within 3 months, he had to go to the doctor, and 6 months later, he had to go through open-heart surgery. Then the man came back, and he found out who it was that was helping him from the higher side of life. And this man today, he comes back for a reading about every 6 months. And the last time he came in, it has taken him almost 4 years to absorb all of the dynamic information that has been given to him from the higher side of life. And as the man was leaving the reading room, he put his arms around me with tears in his eyes, and he said, "I really do not feel that I should go back to my people because I feel that I cannot tell them the truth. Because I have been teaching as I have been trained to teach. And coming to you, I realize now that there is more information about the work that you're doing in the pages of the Bible than I ever realized before. And now, with what you have been doing and what you have proven to me, I know beyond a shadow of doubt that there is another dimension, that there is a life beyond this dimension. And yet, I'm 62 years old, and as he was telling me, and he says, I am not trained to do anything else. I have no way of earning a living, and yet I don't know what to do. And so he left, and my wishes went with him. And I hope and pray that he will find the right avenue, that he will be guided by Spirit to help others, and that the material things that he needs in this world and the rest of the years that he has here, that they will come to him, but because he has finally found the truth. And he, if we search far enough, we will find the truth of the continuity of life. We will find the truth that when we, as we live here, we will live in this other dimension. And it matters not what you believe. Because at the moment of death, you go into the other dimension. And the one important thing that I would like to share to those of you that are still searching and still seeking, I want you to remember this message of all the messages that I have to give to you today. There is no one that can die alone. Regardless of where you are, if you should be caught out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean in a rowboat by yourself, you will not die alone. Because those great and wonderful friends of ours that have preceded us Those that have passed on are watching us, around and about us. Don't call them guardian angels. Call them loved ones. Call them friends. Because they loved us when we were in the physical body, and they love us now as well, from the other side of life. Did any of you people ever experience someone that passed? Someone that was in very deep agony? They were suffering so greatly that you were just praying silently that God would take this person to the higher side of life, because you cannot stand to see the person suffering there on the bed. And yet at the very last moment of death, there's a smile on the face of that person. Why is the smile there? Because we all become clairvoyant and clairaudient at the last moments of life. Some of us are fortunate enough to become, with this gift, weeks and days before the time that we are to pass. So this other world is just as real as this world, and yet down through the ages, these ignorant people that could not see beyond the end of their nose, they were trying to convince us, they're trying to tell us that there is no such thing. You must do this, that, or the other. And that if you hear a voice, it is not coming from God and His kingdom. It is coming from that other person and the people that is with him. Ladies and gentlemen, the people that talk with me and guide me in every walk of my life are from God's kingdom. That I know. That I am sure of. And I know for a fact that all of you are guided in many ways. But so many of you do not listen. How many of you have received punches? How many of you have had this inner feeling of doing this, whereas mentally you wanted to do that? And yet you took the path that you chose, only to find out that the path, that inner feeling, that inner voice said, was true. Where was it coming from? It was not coming from your imagination. It was coming from the God kingdom of the spirit world. And when we understand the God kingdom of spirit world, when we understand the teachings of spirit, then we can understand that there is a life beyond this. We can understand that our relatives, our friends, our loved ones, they are in this other dimension. They cannot appear to us in the flesh body, because the flesh body is no more. It is gone. It is going back to the dust. But that soul, that consciousness, the higher self, lives, breathes, and has its dimension there, here and now. And when we go into a seance room, and ladies and gentlemen, those of you that have never had this experience, I really feel sorry for you. But yet, we cannot have the doors open to anyone coming into a seance room, because we have to have the proper vibration. We have to have the right attunement in order for those on the higher side of life, because they are working through the living instrument. They are working through the human instrument. And therefore, we have to be in harmony. We have to be in attunement to receive that from the higher side of life. And those of you that would like to go into the scriptures sometime, why don't you read about the part where Jesus was out with all of his disciples, and he was teaching and preaching and demonstrating the gifts of the Spirit. And finally, all the feedback that was going back to his home and his relatives and his family, they were hearing the wonders that were being created around and about the man called Jesus. And these things were so wondrous that they could not even understand and could not even believe that this could be possible. Our own member of our own family, these things are happening to him. Read in the scriptures when he finally was finishing up his ministry and he was returning back to his home base. And he found there, as it's recorded in the Bible, that because of the lack of faith, he could do no miracles. Only a few healings did he do by laying on the hands. That in itself should prove to you people that believe that this man was God himself. You should realize that if he was that man that they taught us down to the ages that he was, then he could have overcome the negativity. He could have overcome the problems, the thoughts of his own family and friends. And he could have just simply waved his hands over the crowds and they would have all been healed. Never did he ever say in his prayer that, "My Father," he said, "Our Father." Think of that, ladies and gentlemen. He said, "Our Father." That alone is putting himself on our level. He was never one who said, "I am God." In the New Testament, it is mentioned 76 times that he was Son of Man. He came to the world as a teacher. He came as a way shower. He came as a brother. And he taught psychic science, or the science of the mind. He demonstrated all of the gifts of the Spirit. And he said, "When you destroy this temple, I will raise it up 3 days later." He was proving that we live and breathe and have our being on the other side. He was a person that came to the world endowed with all the gifts of the Spirit. I thank God that every day that I breathe and every day that I live, that I have been given 3 gifts of the Spirit. And I am sharing this with everyone who has an open mind and who is ready to know the truth. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there is one thing we cannot escape, and that is death. Isn't it better to know where we are going? Isn't it better to know that there is a life beyond this? And when you understand the gifts of the Spirit, then you are set free. You are free mentally. You are free physically. And you can go on into this other dimension. And we can all be instruments of the Spirit. Because God in Spirit works strangely with us. Many of you people out there today that have never attended a healing service, yet many of you people could be the instrument of the healing for the Spirit to work through you. Because the power is not within you or within me. It is only working through you. And so the man Jesus had this gift. He did not have the power to heal because he was doing the Father's work. He was doing the work of the Spirit. And he said, "You destroy this temple, I will build it up in 3 days." And he did. And he also demonstrated other things while he was teaching on the earth plane to prove to us that we do not stop at death. We continue on with the work that we have been doing. I have a most beautiful Indian that has been with me ever since I was born. And as I started talking to the Indian as a child, I could hear my mother and father talking behind my back in another room. He's going to wind up in an insane asylum. Listen to him. He's talking to someone that isn't there. Now he's answering questions that he just asked. You have no idea what I went through as a child. It was absolute torture. I lived a hell on earth until I went to the first service when I was 23 years old, and I learned about the gifts of the Spirit. And I'll never forget, as long as I lived, the place was so crowded, it was standing all over the place. And when I realized that the person standing up on the platform was talking the same language that I've heard so many times before, and as I started realizing that, finally I had found the truth. And it was the old Baptist coming out in me, and here this young man, sitting in the middle of the audience. I almost jumped out of my seat and shouted, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I have finally found the way." It was the most wonderful night of my whole life. And from that night on, I have been searching, I have been seeking, I have been learning more of the continuity of life. I have been learning that there are many people endowed with the gifts of the Spirit. There are many fakes that pretend they are, ladies and gentlemen. But God bless the mediums. God bless those who have given their life to prove the continuity of life. And that's what the man Jesus did when he was on the earth plane. And yet, He was competition to the priest at the time. For they said, kill him. And the king says, I do not see that he has done anything to deserve to be killed. But kill him anyway. And they thought that when he was destroyed, that would silence it, and things would be back to normal in their own teaching. He fooled them. Spirit fooled them. Because 3 days after he materialized, I don't have to tell you, in the Bible he says, don't touch my body, it is not like yours. In a seance room, if someone appears to us, someone materializes, we are given instructions, don't touch the spirit. Because their body is made of ectoplasm, it is not made of the flesh. Therefore, a great deal of damage could come to the medium, the instrument, at that time. Today, scientists, today, doctors, and many men of the clergy are coming, thank God, with open minds, and they're finding out that what the spiritualists have been talking about down through the years is true. We can prove it. We don't have to live on faith. We don't have to wait until sometime off into the future. It's proven to us here and now, today. And so when we go in and we learn of the gifts of the Spirit, we start understanding the working of Jesus. Because he was the most gifted person that has ever walked this earth. And yet, he had a spirit control with him. I'm not saying this from my own consciousness. I am telling you this because the spirit teachers have told me, yes, he too had spirit control, just like you have. His spirit control was that of Moses. Check out the records as far as we can read to find out. Moses lived approximately 1,400 years before Jesus came to the world. And yet, Jesus never walked alone. When you read in the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ, the 18 years of his life that was deliberately taken out of what we know today as the Holy Bible, that is the 18 years, the mystery years. How was it received and who by? Another instrument of the Spirit. And so the knowledge was given to him and he recorded it. And about approximately 80 years ago it was recorded. And those of you that do not understand what I'm talking about, I feel very confident that the bookstore in this area would have this book, the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ. Because one morning when he was 7 years old, Jesus was 7 years old, he came downstairs and he said to his parents, because they were giving him a special celebration, he had just become 7 years old that day, and he said, I had a dream last night. And they said, what was your dream? He says, I dreamed that I was standing on a sandy beach. And he says, the waves were rolling high and a storm was approaching. And from out of nowhere, you get out of everywhere, somebody handed me a wand. And I took that wand and I touched the sand at my feet. And the sands became living beauty. Beautiful flowers, trees, and singing birds. And I took the wand and I touched the waters and the waves. And the waves became very calm. And then out of nowhere and yet out of everywhere, I heard a voice. And the voice said, there is no death. There is no death. You see, we are on the earth being here only for a certain limited time. We are preparing our other world, our other life, with what we do here. There's no one standing there with a large book judging, you did this, that, or the other, you need to go upstairs and downstairs. This is all nonsense. This is the stuff that's been handed down generation to generation, down through the years. And this, as I said before, is why so many young people today are not satisfied with the teachings of their parents. They are seeking, they're searching, they're trying to find the truth themselves. Because religion in itself is so much like politics, it's handed down from parents to children. And very few people even question. How many people go to church on Sundays only to see and be seen? They don't know what goes on up on the platform or at the altar. And then they walk out of the church, and if you question them what happened, they really couldn't tell you. There are so many people today that says, oh, I believe in God. I believe in this, that, and the other. And they say, I believe in God, but take a quick look and a close look. They can't stand their neighbor. Because there is a spark of God within us. For people ask many times the man Jesus, where can we find this God? And he says, to find God within yourself. And because there is a spark of that divinity within us, I don't care who you are, where you came from, there is a spark of that divinity within you. And when you love your neighbor as yourself, you are loving God. And when you... Only one part of that week that I was there, I was able to be alone in the afternoon, and I went off by myself to the beach to meditate. And as I was meditating at the beach and enjoying the warmth of the sun, I heard a voice say this to me, and I will share it with you this afternoon. I see a church upon a hill, all painted spiritual white, and from yonder many miles they come to learn what is right. The years have come and the years have gone. Millions have been misled, and now we see them coming from miles around to learn there is no death.